Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Finally, in devoting thought to the lesson read from Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 to 46. Beloved, this first season in the festival half of the church year, this season of Advent, slips by so very fast. Here we are in the October, the second of the fourth Sunday in that season, and nearly at the midway point in the last of days. The end of that season, wanting a full opportunity to mull over the three comings of Christ. He's coming to redeem you. He's coming to us individually through the means of grace to become our personal Savior. And he's coming to judge the living and the dead, to take us and all his own to himself forever. But at the same time, in this final setting, we want a full day's progress out of each day's spent in preparation for the Holy Ministry. Today's reading from Matthew chapter 22 helps to fulfill both of those desires and both of those purposes. One commentator calls the rejoinder of Jesus to the Pharisees in today's reading and asks them a question saying, what do you think of the Christ whose son is he? One commentator calls that section of the reading Jesus' Messianic Manifesto. And he calls attention to the fact that it is this somewhat cryptically written manifesto which Jesus repeated so plainly later to Caiaphas, saying that he was indeed the Christ, the Son of the Living God. And it was on that basis that Jesus was labeled a blasphemer and was condemned. No wonder that the commentator should call it our Lord's Messianic Manifesto, and no wonder that we should see it as a very substantial contribution to our use of the Advent season to think about Jesus and his three comings, in this instance, particularly the first coming. But at the same time, this whole reading contributes to our never ending preparing for the Holy Ministry by letting us see Jesus as a model for the pastoral office which he was later to institute. For in this event, Jesus is to be seen as patient with people, persistent in purpose, and consistent in teaching from the Word. The patience of our Lord is prominently highlighted here, and we notice that taking into account the foregoing context of today's reading, on one day, the Pharisees tried to entangle our Lord on the subject of taxes. Is it lawful to pay tribute to Caesar? The Sadducees tried to entangle our Lord on the subject of the resurrection. Whose wife is this much married woman? In the life to come, they sought to find him saying. And then in the reading which we have shared together, in which the Pharisees seek to trip up Jesus on the subject of the relationship of God's commandments to each other. But despite the incessance of those people trying to get to him, as it were, and despite their perversity, their evil purpose in coming at him in the fashion in which they did, Jesus patiently dealt with them. Rather than letting his patience wear thin, he willingly and even eagerly joined in conversation with them. We who would be pastors would likewise be long-suffering in our willingness to talk with people about spiritual matters, however bad their motives might be. But our Lord's patience is closely linked with his persistence of purpose. In each of this one day's three dialogues, Jesus provided the tag of a cause of repentance. To the Pharisees, he said, render to God the things that are done. To the Sadducees, he said, with David, that he is not the God of the living, but of the dead, but of the living. And to the Pharisees, in the third instance, which is our reading, he said, if David thus calls him Lord, how is he his son? Not everybody, though, sees those remarks of Jesus as a tag or a call to repentance. In fact, one commentator commented among us, write down the lesson which you have said today, these words. But now Christ turns to the attack by proposing a question which would impale his adversary on the horns of a real dilemma. Just a saving purpose, it would seem. But then another commentator comment among us more appropriately writes, Jesus turned the tables on his adversaries and questions them not for the purpose of plotting against them as they had plotted against him, but in order to present to them a vastly truth for the last time during his public ministry, to call their attention to the difference between the Messiah whom they expected and the Messiah of whom the Old Testament had prophesied, and to convince them of his identity. Or similarly, and even more simply, another prominent commentator among us says, Jesus calls the Pharisees to repentance by showing them how their conception of the Christ falls altogether short of the Old Testament promise of the Christ. So he who would be tempted should likewise be persistent in calling people to the repentance of faith in Jesus Christ and to life in him. In his patient and persistent calling of people to the repentance and saving faith, Jesus then consistently spoke out of the written word. To the Sadducees, he quoted God speaking to Moses out of the burning bush, and said, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And then added the comment, he is not God of the dead, but of the living. And to the Pharisees, he quoted the Davidic Psalm 110, verse 1, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, till I put thy enemies under thy feet. Jesus was the Word from eternity. The Word was God. Jesus was true God. He became the Word incarnate. But on this occasion, and specifically, he preached and taught out of the written word, which he had caused to his Holy Spirit come into being. We who would be pastors, knowing the word who is God made flesh, only through the written word, should surely be consistent in teaching only out of that word. But unfortunately, looking at Christ as the perfect model for pastoral ministry, as we've been doing, does not just instruct us as new men in Christ, but it also brings to our prominent view that old man of sin which we still are. For so quickly we recognize how the perversity of people tempts us to question us rather than patience, the declaration of damnation rather than invitation to salvation, the treatment out of our life rather than treatment out of the law gospel message of the word for men's salvation. But that same Lord, who models ministry for us, also gathers our ministerial failures together with all our sins into the sum of the world's sin for which he paid in being the Messiah, suffering and dying to redeem. So I accept his forgiveness and his sin to follow in his footsteps. Amen. The peace of God which passes understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.